Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Sean Broderick. He is the natural resource analyst over at Weiss Group, also writes the Wealth Super Cycle. And Sean, what I first want to do is start talking about some other metals that really don't have the attention on them quite to any extent that they had just a couple years ago. These are energy metals or battery metals, also known as. First, I do want to look at lithium, though. I just introduced a lithium company to our audience. And quite frankly, a lot of lithium companies, pretty much all of them, have been under quite a bit of pressure. What is your take on the overall lithium sector and then even driving down to maybe some of the stocks or just the overall stocks underneath lithium?
Right. Well, first of all, I would say many of the companies in the lithium industry had the stuffing beaten out of them. So many of them are like approaching value levels at this point when you consider what their future business could be. Now, what exactly will that be? There really was a perception in the market for quite some time that we were going to have an oversupply of lithium starting this year because of new mining projects coming online and like that kind of thing. But that oversupply hasn't happened. There's been a real delay in like mining projects and other things like that. And then Albemarle on the 20th of February, that company reported earnings and it just blew estimates away. Prices were stronger. Production is going up. They have more buyers than they can handle. And that really kind of changed the tone in lithium, which was used to being like the whipping dog. Suddenly it started to look much better. So you can look for value within those names. One thing is that there is an ETF that tracks this area. It's LIT, which is the lithium ETF, and that does not track the metal. It actually tracks those companies which are leveraged to lithium, and it's testing, as you and I talk, it is testing its like 50-day moving average. So I'm watching that closely, because if it can lift off of that, this is a purely technical thing, but oftentimes these markets move on technicals. If it can lift off of that, then I'll look at individual names within that fund, because those are ones that are probably going to be leading the way higher. But if you want to look at names, certainly Albemarle, I mean, that's an excellent one. SQM, that's another big one. Those are the two big ones, but you can also look down to ones that are bringing new production online, like Lithium Americas, for example. And I just did an interview with a company called Piedmont, which is operating, or will be operating because it's building its mine right now, in North Carolina. And that's really early stage. It has money to raise and like stuff like that, so people shouldn't go whole hog. But I mean, it has excellent potential. What it wants to be done is it wants to be purchased by one of the larger companies around there. That is not what they're saying. You can just see that's how they're building the company. But even if that doesn't happen, they could go into production there, and they have decent grades. So there's a lot of potential around here. But one thing people have to be aware of is their own appetite for risk. As I said, we were supposed to have an oversupply of lithium this year, but that's because analysts were counting on all these lithium projects coming online, when in fact that wasn't going to happen. Many projects, many mining projects don't come online in the time frame that they're actually supposed to. So the further you move down the scale from production, the more risk you're taking. And people have to be aware of that, because you can buy stocks for pennies, but there's a lot of risk in them.
So it sounds like, Sean, you're looking at a lot of the producers and near-term producers. Why is that? Do you think that it's just too risky still to dive down into some of the explorers? You want to see projects come online, generate some sort of cash flow, just because, quite frankly, there aren't that many investors watching that sector, so that means it's harder for companies to raise money?
That, and also, lithium isn't that rare. I mean, one reason that we look at, say, in the gold markets, we look at a gold explorers is you can have an explorer that really has a nice project that hasn't been developed yet, and it's like right near a big miner, and so they become an acquisition target. Lithium isn't rare at all. There's plenty of it around. So in order to catch this cycle in any meaningful way, I'd rather have something that's more near term, because there are good projects out there. They just have to be advanced, And so, yeah, that's really the reason that I'm looking at the near-term projects now.
Now, what about jurisdiction for lithium? We hear a lot about people focusing in Nevada thanks to the Tesla plant and other factors, because it does seem like, again, there's a lot of lithium to be found in Nevada. Is that an important jurisdiction for you, or do you look outside?
I like Nevada. One thing people should understand is the grades there aren't spectacular, but certainly it's probably one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world, so it's, anything there is definitely worth a look. Let's go back to North Carolina, though. Let's go to Piedmont. And they aren't giving me any money, by the way. It's just that I happened to talk to this company very recently. North Carolina is where lithium mining in like North America started. That's it. And so that's a very mining friendly state. So it doesn't have to just be Nevada. You have to look beyond that. Now, I know some people are afraid of certain South American jurisdictions, but in the lithium triangle down there, there's more than one country. So if you're afraid of, say, Chile, which, you know, seems to get its nose out of joint for one thing or another, there's always Bolivia, there's always Argentina. So you can look at other things down there, too. There's, like, more to it. And, of course, there's Australia, which has a completely different kind of lithium. You know, it's hard rock lithium. But, you know, that they are selling plenty of that to the Chinese. There's a big market for it. And so if you're willing to look at Australia, and I think people should be, there are some excellent opportunities down there.
All right, let's move over to the precious metals, more specifically gold. There's been a lot of talk about last year just how much central banks buying gold amounted to. Just over 650 tons of gold were bought in 2018, and that was the most in almost 47 years, and it was 75% more than in the year before. But we didn't really see an appreciating gold price. We actually saw gold dropping for most of the year and rebounding in the last 3 to 4 months. What's your balance here, Sean? Seeing that central banks are buying gold, but hearing, obviously, all the gold bugs saying that's excellent for gold, but not really seeing a price reaction.
Well, yeah, but one thing you have to keep in mind is that one thing that was really weighing on gold last year is we had an appreciating U.S. dollar. And so that was kind of problematic. All during 2018, we saw the U.S. dollar go higher. I mean, in fact, it was up like 9% into December, which is a heck of a move for a currency. And for us in the U.S., since gold is priced in dollars, that tends to weigh on gold. So I would say that it was not that all those purchases by the central banks didn't help gold at all. It's just it was held in check by the rising U.S. dollar. Now, the question we should be asking ourselves is the U.S. dollar going higher? And it might, or is it kind of topping out? I believe that it's moved into more of a horizontal range, because one thing driving it last year, and people will have to remember this, is that the Fed kept hiking interest rates. And then in December, the Fed moved to a much more market-sensitive a policy. They said they would be watching the stock market. Many people, including me, believe they are backstopping the stock market and they aren't going to raise rates anytime soon. In fact, I would not be surprised to see the next move by the Fed be a cut in interest rates. I'm not saying it's going to happen soon. It's just I think that they're just going to let things sit for a while and then the cut will come later this year. And so that's the kind of thing that will not help the U.S. dollar. Now, and I am sorry to like move so far away from precious metals. I will get back to it. One thing I have to bring into it is that Europe looks worse. The euro is in terrible shape simply because their central bank couldn't fight its way out of a central out of like a paper bag. They could not walk down the hallway without tripping over the wallpaper. And they have screwed things up so much that they've stopped their quantitative tightening program and they're now back into easing. And because of that, that makes the U.S. dollar look better. So there is some real indecision as to what's going to happen with the U.S. dollar, but I think that will be one of the most important factors as to what's happened to the price of gold. But on the demand side, and since we actually started out there, we are seeing China double down on its gold purchases, I believe in preparation for not necessarily a shift away from the U.S. dollar, but to give them more leeway in the in, say, the global financial markets. I mean, they have boosted their gold holdings for three consecutive months, and they have bought 32 metric tons. If China keeps purchasing at that rate, they will surpass Russia and Kazakhstan, which were the leading buyers last year. And those two seem to still be buying gold a lot. So we have multiple factors here that you have to keep in mind. One is the demand, and the central banks seem to be leading that demand. Investor demand runs hard or cold, because when the price of gold starts to go higher, investors buy, buy, buy. When the price of gold starts to go lower, investors sell, sell, sell. They're terrible at it. But along with that, you have what's happening in the currencies, the fluctuations. I believe the dollar is in like a zone now, like a range. And so if it just stops going higher, that's going to help gold quite a bit. Because that 9% move last year was what really weighed on the price of gold. And so if it just stops doing that, that's going to help gold quite a lot. And you add in more purchases by the central banks, that's actually quite bullish.
Okay, so it's one of those more long-term drivers, or at least a base to put underneath the metal if we do, when we do continue to see central banks buying. It's just not one of those immediate reactions. And as you said, there are other markets that impact the price of the precious metals much more than simply just physical buying, even if it is on a central bank level. The dollar comes into play. Also, the broad equity markets also come into play. Key considerations there, Sean, but hey, it's always great chatting with you. I do appreciate you taking some time. If anybody wants more information on Sean's newsletter, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will put you in touch with Sean and his team. Sean, great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your week, buddy.
Hey, thanks very much.